Well, I want to read a little bit to you from a couple of excerpts from the letters that we get from our missionaries. You see that we're praying for the carriers. Of course, as I mentioned, they were here this weekend, but I challenge you to connect with them if you haven't already, and they're very excited, Stephen and Leslie, as we got to spend time with them to celebrate the year anniversary of Joy Baptist Church. And they had a kids event on August the 10th before they came back. There's a great turnout with several kids and visiting families. And Stephen says one of the favorite parts is how people in our church come together and make it happen. And there were so many volunteers that they were blessed and they ran out of work for some of them to do. So it's just good to see what God's doing through Stephen and Leslie. And I want us to keep on praying for them. And then not only them, but the Browns. They're not from here, of course, but they are out of the mission agency down in Johnson City with Beacon. And but they share in their letter another encouragement as we prepare to start the driving school. Of course, they have to meet some requirements, is that they pass the Japanese language exam, and that's required by the school, which means that he wouldn't need a translator. And so one of the things he said, it's a measurable step forward in my language progress. And while there's still much to learn, little by little, I'm understanding more of what I hear. I look forward to spending extended time in an entirely Japanese language environment. And so you think about just going, but that's not all of it. You got to be able to communicate. And so continue to pray for Randy Brown and his family, if you would, please. And then the Mendezes, as I mentioned, this is Brother Ram Ribeiro's son-in-law and daughter. And so we're praying for Bruno and Roxanne. Praise the Lord for the precious souls who made profession of faith in some of our meetings recently. This is while they're still in the States. They're getting ready to go back. But as we travel across the country, it's a joy to witness what God's doing. And then, with just a few meetings left, we're closer than ever to finishing our deputation. The Lord willing, we plan to fly back to Brazil in November. And so they're still waiting on some documents to get in so they can depart. And so I want us to pray for them, but then also it's exciting just to see what God's doing. We were able to help out with some of the needs. They still need some more. They've got about 7,000 of the 13,000 needed to get settled on the field after they get there, their startup costs and things. But very, very excited for this young couple and what God's going to use them to do. So I want to update you on that. And I'd like to get into the Bible study. I apologize, I don't have a handout tonight. As I mentioned, I was in a meeting with Brother Polly and some other folks, and I didn't get it in time to get it printed. But you'll think this strange, what I want to share with you tonight, but I'm looking at Genesis chapter number 50. And when our leader dies, and when somebody that you love goes on, and this has happened to many folks in this room. We've had many funerals, of course, here, but then there's also been a great number of funerals that haven't been here, but they've affected people in our church. The people that went on weren't here in the church, but their family is. And sometimes I'm afraid that we get the wrong idea about what's going on when we die. This isn't a lesson about what happens to those when they pass. The scripture is very clear about that. If a person is saved, they're absent from the body, present with the Lord. We understand that. But I'd like for you, we'll get about 3 points here, and if you want to take some notes, you can. But we're looking at when Jacob is mourned. Now, Jacob or Israel, he's mourned after he goes on to meet his reward, and he leaves this world. And Joseph fell upon his father's face. This is verse number 1. And wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. And the physicians embalmed him. And 40 days were fulfilled for him. For so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die in my grave, which I have digged for me, in the land of Canaan, there shalt thou bury me. Now, therefore, let me go, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, Go up and bury thy father according as he made thee swear. And so you remember that he takes him to be buried and moves on, verse 7 down to 14 or so there. And we're going to get to it. This isn't part of this lesson, but we've talked about it before, that his brothers fear Joseph now that his dad is gone. Then they lied about it before. They might as well lie about it again and said, Dad told us before he died that you might have a tendency or might have a desire to be mean to us. Don't do it, you know. And that's when we get that verse that we love, that he said that that as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. And so there's a lot of beautiful things here, but that's not my focus tonight. My focus tonight is this aspect that's happening to a lot of folks, and that is when somebody that we know and we love goes on, what happens? Not what happens to them, but what do we do? And so I want to look at a couple things. The first of all is this, the coming of death to all of us. This was Jacob. This was God's man. This was Israel. This was the one that God had put a long list of blessings on. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 27, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. And sometimes we get so worldly minded that we forget that that's coming for all of us. Well, I say it's coming for all of us. I hope it's coming for none of us. I hope everybody in this room, we're going to go up in the rapture. And but if that doesn't happen before our time comes, then all of us are going that direction. And so what I'm afraid that we've got so worldly minded that we hate to see that coming just almost as much as somebody that's not a Christian. But you understand, this is just a part of life. Everything that we have on this earth, it ends eventually. And so we know that sin entered into the bloodstream of humanity back in Genesis chapter 3. And we know that that Adam and Eve, they were sentence of death came upon them because of their disobedience to God. And they didn't just drop dead then. We all know the story. But they started that process of death. So we understand that this is going to happen. So now you'll never find your pastor coming to somebody and say, oh, well, praise the Lord, they went on. Now, I do feel that way sometimes because there have been many families that have asked, Pastor, please just pray that they go on to glory. And I recently was thinking about my mom, and I was thinking about it being hard to believe that she wasn't with us anymore. But you understand that she was in such a way there at the end. My sister took such good care of her, but she was in such a way that she would want to continue on, not down here in that fashion. And so, yes, there are times when we do that. But even those times, we act as if that's not the desire that we have in our hearts. But can I tell you this? I often tell folks that when those believers go on, they've really beat us in the race. The Bible talks about running the race with patience. And so they have beat us in the race, and they've gone on to their reward. Well, human tragedy comes to every house, but there's nothing that we can do to bring those loved ones back. Nor would they want us to if they're believers in Christ. Can I just bring us back to the biblical position that we're supposed to have? And that is this, we don't have to fear this. We don't have to say, oh my goodness, I don't know what we're going to do. Well, we're going to do the same things that we did before. We're going to trust the Lord. We're going to walk with Him. We're going to let Him comfort. We're going to let Him guide. Remembering that, as the Scripture says, that to be absent from this body, as the apostle was used of God to write, that absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm not trying to say that it's easy. I'm not saying that you're not going to have grief, because the Bible even covers that we don't sorrow as others which have no hope. We do sorrow, just not like those that don't have the hope in Christ. But I'm reminding us this evening that it is coming for all of us. And so may we be wise enough to see that the truth of it is that it is going to happen, that we're not going to live here. We know what happened in the Garden of Eden. We understand that there's going to come an end to us, and that we ought to take that as an opportunity to be a blessing to the people who are around us. So the coming of death is to all of us. If you would look over in Hebrews chapter number 9 for just a moment, that verse I quoted just a little bit ago, but I want you to look at it. If you don't have it marked, you're welcome to do that as well. But in Hebrews chapter number 9, yes, there's the aspect of the judgment coming, but I also remind you that there's the aspect of just the death that's awaiting all of us. And now we've watched enough TV shows and movies and things like that we put a little ghoulish laugh on that ha-ha, it's waiting on all of us. That's not that at all. As sure as we were born, we're going to end the life one of these days as well. Now, again, the only possibility on to change that is, that the Lord would come and get us before that happens, and I'm all for that. But we see in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, the Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." So we understand that as we have an appointment sometime, I know there's some things in Scripture that talk about honoring father and mother, that days may be long upon the earth, and there's different things that talk about the length, but you understand we've all got that appointment. But sometimes I talk with Christians, and maybe it's because we're not getting in the Word of God enough, but sometimes I talk about to Christians, and they say, "Oh, I don't want to talk about that." My friend, there's nothing morbid about that. That's our ticket out of this place. We feel bad for the folks that we leave behind. We feel bad for our family members that have gone on. And many a time I've caught the tears of different people as we sit around there. And now the people that are left here have to deal with the problems and the things of this life. And that one that they love so much, they're in the glory of the Lord. And so we understand, though, that the coming death is happening to all of us. But I want you to look, you're in Hebrews, took back, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Back in 1 Corinthians, we see that not only is that coming death to all of us, but the conquering of death is what allows us to have the right outlook. I was thinking, I'm looking at so many of you. We've sat in pews or chairs at different funeral homes and churches. We've been at funerals for your loved ones around in the recent months. But we understand that that's coming to all of us, but we also understand, we take comfort that it's conquered. So you're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 51. The Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Verse number 55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God," and this is the verse that we ought to live with and live in, "but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm going to stop there because I want to get to verse number 58 in a little bit here. But I want you to see, as we see in verse number 57, that we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if I could challenge every Christian in this room tonight, don't be that one that is so despondent and so upset and so fearful of the coming time that we have that appointment that Hebrews chapter 9 talks about. Yes, there's an appointment, and yes, mine may be much sooner than I want it to be, and yours may as well, but my friend, I'm a believer in Christ, and if you know the Lord as your Savior, that appointment doesn't have to scare you. And may I challenge you on a little side note to make sure that the loved ones that you have, they've got enough proof of your salvation that doesn't scare them either. You say, "Pastor, what kind of proof of salvation?" You don't have to give proof of salvation to Jesus Christ. He knows whether you're His or not. But I would love for my family to know that I walked with Him, not forcefully enough, but courageously enough that they didn't have to wonder, "Well, I hope He made it." I want them to be assured of it. And I want each one of you to live such a faith-filled life that one thing that your family members can say about you, "Well, I know he loved Christ. I know she was a believer in Christ." And as we do that, that's what gives that victory. The victory is in Jesus Christ. And we're talking about the victory of our salvation in Christ. But I'm talking specifically now about the victory of the confidence that our family can have, that we live an out-and-out life for the Lord Jesus Christ, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember Lazarus? We all love the story. Lazarus come forth. We don't have to turn there, but John chapter 11, verse 19 down to 27. I love the story, but I do feel kind of sorry for the guy. I don't know what was happening to Lazarus on the time that he was dead. And however that worked out, when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," he said, "Well, you're back again, Lazarus." I would think that he said, "I don't want to go back." Now, it made a great story. It made a great event for everybody around, but he had to go do that. And then I could imagine the Bible doesn't say how long Lazarus lived after that, but I could imagine when it got down, if he had a little time to think about his death, don't you imagine he thought, "Oh, not again." I think I'm getting to recognize this. I've been here before. But we see that death in John chapter 11, verses 19 down, about Lazarus as he gets that conquering of death. Now, God may not conquer death in your life, and he probably won't conquer death in my life in that fashion he did with Lazarus. He did it for a specific reason, to prove and to show some things there. He won't do that most likely in your life. He could, but he won't. But it shows us the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ has over death. And so although it may not be in the same form or fashion that Lazarus was, we don't have to worry about death any more than Lazarus did. If you had the Lord walking around, he said, well, he can raise me anytime he wants to, then you wouldn't be afeared of death. Back where we were at in Genesis, you don't have to turn back there, but the Bible says in the verse right before we read, in verse chapter 49, verse 33, and when Jacob had made an end of the commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost, and my dad loves this phrase, and was gathered unto his people. Because you understand that you may not have that picturesque gathering up of your feet into the bed and just you go on. It may happen fast. It may happen painfully. I don't know. But we understand that the Bible gives us the end of the matter for Jacob. And then the passage we read that they took his body back to Canaan. They didn't want to leave it there in Egypt. But he was gathered under his people. What a wonderful way to think about this. Let's take a little poll. How many of you have somebody that's a believer, that was a believer, they're already on the other side? Now, some, if we live long enough, we get to where we have more folks that we know over there than we have down here. We were having a funeral sometime back, and it was for an older person, and the family was really surprised that there weren't more people that showed up until they really started rehearsing some of the status of that person's contemporaries. And they said, well, this person couldn't come because they're dead. It's amazing, those people don't come to your funerals, but those people couldn't come because they're gone, these people. And then they started going down through the list. Well, no wonder no one came to their funeral. They'd outlived most of their contemporaries. And so you can get to a place where you've got more people on that side than you do on this side. But I'm just challenging us as Christians. Tonight, I believe my reason for bringing this lesson is that we don't have the fear that somebody else does. Because you understand, our world, they live in fear of this. There's a strong young man that many of you knew the story, Brother Bob Edwards, and some family situations going on right there, that some fearful things happening. But the fearful things that happened to us, and in Bob's family there, a son-in-law, when we don't know how things are going to end up, we don't have that fear like somebody that doesn't know the Lord has. And it's a sign of your maturity in the faith when you realize that salvation is eternal, home in heaven is eternal, and we don't have to live like the world lives and being afraid of what's going to happen to us. So we see the conquering of death in 1 Corinthians. You're still there. If you are, let me challenge you to look back at verse number 54. This corruptible shall have put on incorruption. This corruptible is this body that we now live in, this flesh that you don't have to look too long to find that it sags, it stretches, it gets marks on it, stuff happens to it. The hair falls out of your head and grows in other places, your ears and your nose and things like that. One fellow was complaining about his bald head, and his little granddaughter said, but, Papa, at least you got plenty coming out of your ears now. So things happen to you. This is corruptible, this body that you have. This mortal, which is what we all are, shall have put on immortality. So then shall be brought to pass. Would you notice that in the middle of that verse? Then shall be brought to pass, because we're waiting on some things to get fulfilled so that God's plan will take place. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. death is swallowed up in victory. So you understand that this plan that we don't like, this plan that people spend all of this money on getting face creams and serums and all of this to try to make it look as good as you can, and that's not bad. I forget what old evangelist said, you know, if the barn needs painting, paint it. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But what happens when it says here, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. And so we understand that little word then as it says that we see that God's got a plan and this plan's got some steps in it and you've got to follow the steps that God has. I don't care how much money somebody spends to try to make themselves look, feel, and be younger. It's not going to work. We see that there's going to be a natural progression. We also see back in verse number 53, the corruptible. This is going to keep on being this corruption. And it will one of these days, though, put on incorruption. And mortal will put on immortality. So we see the conquering. And again, perhaps I'm just coming tonight just to remind us that we're not the world. We're not the unsaved. Those things that remind you that you're human, that you're mortal, that this body of yours is not going to live forever. You've not found the fountain of youth, and you're not going to either. And we understand that that's not a bad thing. We can just grow old in the Lord because we understand that one of these days it's going to be God's plan that it's all over for you. You don't have to fear that. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to avoid it. It's going to come. Again, don't just lay out in the sun, bake yourself, and just make it happen prematurely. That's not wise either. But be aware that it's happening and understand that then these things are going to happen. So the conquering of death. But I wanted to say verse number 58, if you've still got your Bible open to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that God gives us the concern for the living. So if you're taking notes, the coming of death, it's coming for all of us. But then the conquering of death, God's already conquered it. Death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law. But we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But now look at verse 58 in 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, we all know, see what the therefore is there for. Because of these truths that have just been in the verses previous, because we're putting on incorruption one of these days, because death is swallowed up in victory, because grave doesn't have the victory over us anymore. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so the concern for the living, while we have something, a little bit of time to do something about it, is to get busy for the Lord. We ought to be showing kindness to others. We need to be living in such a way that we would make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. And my convicting thought to you and I tonight is, am I? There was someone last day or so, and the Lord just kind of smacked me with it. It was a person trying to sell some things. And I don't know about you, but you may be a salesman in here, but if you're trying to sell and you're not in the mood to be given a sales pitch to, it's just kind of a tense situation and you're not interested really, or if you are interested, you don't want to be schmoozed over by all of the product details and all that. And that's what this person was doing. And I realized, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be a billboard for Jesus all the time, even if they don't know where I pastor and even if they don't know all that. I'm supposed to be making a difference in the people that I see and that I interact with. And so therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I'm supposed to stand for Jesus even when some salesman is trying to get me to buy something that I don't really want. So we understand that the concern for the living is that we do something about it while we have our being. You've all heard stories about people who had a scare. They had a sudden brush with near death, and they changed everything about what they were and who they were and what they did. And the reason was they got face to face with the fact that they needed to do something before their life was over. Jacob, when he came down to Egypt, you remember the story that we started off in Genesis. When he came down there, he made his family promise, don't bury me down here. Take my body back up to the promised land. And that's what they did. When Jacob came down, you remember as he came down and Joseph was so excited to see him come down out of there, and he got to spend maybe some 17 years or so down there with Joseph. And he made some sentiment as he made statements about, I never thought I'd see you again. This is not how it's written, but basically, I never thought I'd see you again. And then not only do I see you, we get to see your children. He was so blessed. Jacob was a negative Nelly, I think, a lot of times. Few and evil have been my days. I think he was somebody who looked on the negative side of things more than he should have. But I imagine that he certainly made those moments count when he had Manasseh and Ephraim and got to see those boys. And I thought about this. And don't please raise your hand on this, but I just want you to think. How many of you have known people really that, don't raise your hand, but you've known people that really they died before they died? Really, they were kind of done before they got done. That's a sad way to live. I'm talking about Christian people right now. They really kind of just got bitter and sour and just really weren't looking for the Lord to do much in their life. I don't want to be that way. I want to be living for the Lord. I want to be one of those happy people. I want to be one of those happy old geezers that finds my teeth eventually and puts them in and says, well, kids, how you been? Well, I wouldn't mind keeping the ones I have either, but you know, if it's got to be, it's got to be. You know, I've got a philosophy about that, that people there, some people are old, grouchy, and then some people are just old and sweet. I think they're how they want it to be all along, but youth is gone, so they don't hide who they are. I don't know if that's true or not. There's not in the Bible. I'm just saying that I think some people who are old and sweet, they were sweet all along. That's just who they were. But the people who are old and grouchy, they want to be grouchy all along. It's just that the youth kept them, kind of kept that at bay, and they tried to be nice just because that's what they thought they should do. And now that they don't mind being holding back what they truly are, then they're just an old grump. I don't want to be that way. I want to be the one that spends my days helping people and doing good to the people who are around me. I want you to look, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 27, and maybe this will be the last spot that we're at. And this is, even this verse can be taken in a negative way if somebody wants to be cynical about it. In Proverbs, there's so many wonderful passage groups of, or verses, of course. If you're there, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That sounds a lot like that place over in James where God says that our life is but a vapor, appears for a little while, then vanisheth away. You ought to say that if the Lord will, I'm going to go into town, I'm going to do this and this, go into a city. The truth of the matter is, I may not be here Sunday, because it may be that God chooses to take me on to glory. Now, again, I've already made it very clear. If all of us aren't going, I don't want to go by myself. But it could happen whether I want it to or not. But while I have my being, I want to do something for the glory of Jesus Christ. I want to show kindness to others. I want to take the opportunity to serve the Lord. That salesman that I told you about that was trying to give me something that I didn't really necessarily want, I tried to be nice. And I can tell you that I was nice because I know I'm a Christian. I was trying to be nice. I was that time. Now I'm not always, so don't. Polish my halo. So I was nice that time, though, because I'm a Christian, and I want to give a good testimony for the Lord, and got to witness to the person, and he was saved. So I'm thinking about this, and it seems like the Lord just kind of brought us to this point tonight. So Hebrews chapter 9, if you're taking notes, Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, it's coming for all of us. I challenge you to write that and write it down and know it, because that is the truth what we're facing. But then the conquering that comes after the knowledge of the coming, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51, 56, 57, so right in there. The conquering. Death, where's your sting? And then the concern. I'll read this one last verse to you. You can write it down if you want. But in John chapter 9, verse number 4, the Bible says that as Jesus is talking to some of the disciples there, and he's talking about this man that was blind from his birth, and they're asking him, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he might be born blind? And Jesus answered, neither. He says, neither him nor his parents. It was just done for the works of God should be made manifest. And then he said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. And so I realized that one of these days, John chapter 9, verse number 4, is going to happen in my life. I won't have an opportunity anymore to be a light for the Lord Jesus Christ. I stand here in regret of some of the times I wasn't a light for the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you about being nice to that salesman. There's been a lot of them that I wasn't nice to because I was grumbling and I was in a bad mood and I didn't want to hear what they had to say, and you were short with people, and I am embarrassed of those times. But I realized that chapter 9, verse 4 of John is very, very true, that the night is coming when nobody will work. Now, I don't know how the Lord is going to wipe away all tears one of these days, but he will. And you understand that he will have to, because if we live with regret in heaven about the things that we didn't do for the Lord, but we knew we should have, that wouldn't be much like heaven. But what I'd like to do now is realize that even though the coming of death is to all of us, but the conquering of death is through our Lord Jesus Christ, but he gives me this mind right now, this sound mind, to be concerned for the time that I have to live. And I wanted to bring our church family into this as well, that we ought to be concerned for Jesus' sake, how we live in the victory of the death that we don't have to fear anymore. How we ought to live, because the days come, the night is coming when no man can work. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, I pray that you would help us as we don't live in fear. And I'm trusting you. I'm not exactly sure why this Bible study was one that you seem to lead toward, except that possibly we're fearing death too much, dear Lord, and as Christians, we don't need to. And Lord, maybe some of us are not remembering that night is coming and we need to get busy during the day. Whatever the cause or that you wanted me here that night, and I pray, dear Lord, that you would settle it in our hearts and that we would live in light of the fact that we won't always have opportunity. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. As they begin to play, if you're able to, would you stand together with us? And we'll be dismissed in just a few moments. But as we're having these moments together, how about you? Have you been fearing death? Have you been dreading it? Have you been that person that's been holding on to life more than you should? Yes, live it. God's given this moment, this hour. But one of these days, our time will be over. If mine is through an accident, or mine is through cancer someday, or mine is through some other form, fashion, if that's the way God chooses to have me meet him, how could I blame God? But also, how could I not right now, while I have health and being, how could I not be concerned about how I'm living for him? If you're here tonight, God's moved upon your heart, I encourage you, make an altar out of your seat there, or come up here to the front. Pray there where you stand. Say, Lord, I want to live as long as you give me life. I don't want to be one of those ones that Pastor John talked about that was dead before they were dead. One last request. If you're here this evening and you're not sure that you're saved, my friend, would you do me the great privilege of just stepping out, and they're going to play another verse. If you're not sure that you're saved, not sure you know Christ as your Savior, step out and let me take a Bible and show you how you can be sure about that. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, Bobby Brown, do you need me to tell me anything about the harvest party? Pray for weather, pray for a good time, and like the paper said, be nice. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, we're going to have a great time on Saturday, and if you didn't sign up, but you get free because you thought you were doing something, but that schedule changes, come on over. We'll put you to work doing something. If nothing else, just meet people around and just howdy with them. We'll have a good time together. So as we leave this evening, if you'd hold your one arm out there and pinch it with the other one. Brenda Edwards is not doing that. Brenda, reach it out there and pinch your arm. All right. Some of you aren't even feeling that. You don't even know whether you're alive or not. Reach out there and pinch it. Make sure you're alive. All right. If you felt that, God's still got some work for you to do. Okay? God bless you. You're dismissed.